What is going on, LA? Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. John Ireland coming up at 7:30, the voice of the Lakers. Brad Turner covers the Lakers for the LA Times coming up at 8:30, actually 8:45. So we got a packed show. Kind of an emotional open here from Mario. It's kind of hit me here. All right, we're just coming home for 5 home games. Lakers finish off that road trip. 5-2 on the road trip, and that's how I want to start off the show tonight. Just kind of want to give my overall thoughts on the last couple of weeks for the Lakers. By the way, I'll keep you guys posted. Good game right now between the Clippers and Brooklyn. 5 seconds left. Clippers down 3, and PG will take a 3 at the buzzer. Miss. Or no, it's a foul. All right, I'm going to stop doing play-by-play here. Okay, so the Lakers, I mean, just kind of look at the last couple of weeks. You got some highs. You got some lows. You definitely have moments where you felt incredibly good as a Laker fan saying, man, we are rolling. And then you had a two-game losing streak, which this is part of the NBA. I mean, I don't know how you guys want to slice and dice it. I think I was listening to Max a little bit earlier. Kellerman was on. He brought Trudell on. And Max was saying, you know, there's some fans concerned because the Lakers went 5-2. I'm like, what are you concerned? Are you kidding me? You know how tough it is to go 5-2 on an East Coast road trip, especially when you're playing teams like the Boston Celtics, the Philadelphia 76ers, the Milwaukee Bucks. There was some good competition in those games. Even some of these other ones that I know don't sound like that big of a deal, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Atlanta Hawks. A lot of these teams, they get one shot in the Eastern Conference to host the Los Angeles Lakers. So you know they get excited when it's LeBron and it's Anthony Davis, when it's the defending NBA champions coming into town, when it's the Los Angeles Lakers coming into town. I mean, even when the Lakers weren't good in competing for a championship, everybody kind of pays attention to when Lakers are coming into their city. I know there's no fans there, but even the individual players, they get up for games like this. So I'll say this. I had predicted. We did our predictions coming into Michael and I were doing our predictions in the pregame show before the road trip started. I said I thought they'd go 5-2, but how I thought they'd get there was completely different than the way the Lakers got there. So nobody expected that loss to the Detroit Pistons, of course. I thought they'd lose that first one against the Milwaukee Bucks. Philly, both Michael and I thought they would lose the game against the Philadelphia 76ers, and Lakers were one possession away. I mean, they came all the way back. They were down 12, going a 13-0 run. If it wasn't for a Tobias Harris clutch shot from Tobias Harris at the end of the game, Lakers win that game. But you know what? Everything evens out because you play the Boston Celtics a week later or whatever the case was, and Boston had a couple opportunities to win the game, and Lakers kind of squeaked out of that one. They had taken a 7-point lead. Boston went on a 6-0 run, turnover in the final couple of seconds by Anthony Davis, and the Lakers barely held on. So I think overall, you got to feel good if you're a Laker fan right now about this 5-2 road trip. You really do. And you should feel good about this 16-6 start for the Lakers. And I'm not, look, I don't want to make it sound like Lakers don't have anything to improve on. Of course they do. Every team does. And I also don't want to make it sound like there's no flaws to this team. There are flaws. But with all that being said, I still think that, you know, if you look at the conference, if you look at the Western Conference standings right now, the Lakers are, I want to say, a half game behind the Utah Jazz and the Clippers. And if Clippers end up losing this game, then, you know, they'll have the, I think, identical records. But all that stuff, I guess I'm not paying too close attention to. I pay more attention to just seeing, okay, how's the team actually performing? How is the quality of play from the Lakers? Overall, I think you got to feel pretty good about the quality of play. Overall, you understand that, okay, LBJ and Anthony Davis, for the most part, every single night will deliver, for the most part. All right, you might have, I think LeBron's been more consistent than Anthony Davis this year, but AD might have a game where he struggles from the field, but he still has 3 blocks and 2 steals. So it's like, all right, well, how are you going to say that AD didn't have a strong game when the other side of the floor he's dominating on, and there's 2 sides of the floor? So you can impact a game just as much as you can on the defensive side as you can than you can on the offensive side. But we always get stuck in just paying more attention to, well, how many points did this guy score? Okay, how many assists, how many rebounds did they have? I know I try to do my best to kind of highlight a little bit of both on both of those ends. And certainly for AD, the guy dominates on the defensive side. So, you know, LBJ and Anthony Davis, that 7-game road trip, both of those guys did what they needed to do. LeBron, no question about it, more consistent, and arguably the reason why they say he's the leading candidate for MVP this year is because he's so incredibly consistent, where there are a lot of other stars out there and other players, they just can't do it on a night-in, night-out basis. I think what's happening too right now with the Lakers, I have this curiosity with, you know, the rest of the team, because as good as LeBron James and Anthony Davis do, it's also very important that everybody else is delivering, or at least you got a couple guys on a night-in, night-out basis that are coming through. Montrez and Dennis Schroeder and KCP, who finally hit a couple threes yesterday. He had been struggling the last 5 games. So I think overall for the Lake Show, I think you take that 5-2 record, you don't even hesitate. Now you get to come home back here at Staples Center, which I don't know if is a good thing or a bad thing, because Lakers right now are sitting at 4-4 at home, and they're 12-2 on the road. Somebody explain that one to me. Actually, I'll ask John Ireland when he comes on at 7:30 if he's got an explanation on that one. So I do feel if there's one thing that we could walk away from is, okay, you just went out and faced the toughest competition in the Eastern Conference, and you came out, you won 2 of 3 of those games. Listen, I'd much rather beat the Boston Celtics and lose to the Pistons than beat the Pistons and lose to the Boston Celtics. So let's not worry about that Detroit game. I thought all 3 games that the Lakers played against the powerhouses in the Eastern Conference, we'll get Brooklyn February 18th. So don't worry, you'll get that opportunity this month in February to see how the Lakers match up against Brooklyn. But I thought those tests, those real kind of statement games for the Lakers, they either won every one of them, or they were in it and lost in a final possession against the Philadelphia 76ers. So overall, mission accomplished on the trip. Yes, would it have been nice to go 7-0. Yes, would it have had been nice to go 6-1. But I don't think if you're a Laker fan out there, you can complain about that 5-2 road trip for the Lake Show. All right, so Jared Dudley, right after that win to the Boston Celtics, he tweeted out that he thought it was the best win of the year. So 2 games come to mind for me, best wins of the year so far this year. 2 really just kind of stand out to me. I also have the worst loss of the season. If we're going to do the best wins, let me be pessimistic Sliwa here for a quick second and also give you what loss I thought was the worst loss. So Dudley put out that the best win of the year was against the Boston Celtics. So only 2 games I could really think of that, you know, so far this year that really stand out to me. I thought the win against the Milwaukee Bucks, that 113-106 win against Milwaukee, and I thought the win versus the Celtics, 96-95, I thought those were the 2 most impressive wins so far for the Lakers. I mean, if you really kind of look at the rest of the schedule, I don't want to say the Lakers haven't played that many big games, but they really haven't. I mean, Clippers was a big game. You lost that one. Dallas, that was an okay game. Dallas not playing that good a ball right now. No other real game on the schedule. You know, Portland was a big game. You lost that one. No other game on the schedule stands out to me so far. And when you go out on the road and Milwaukee's supposed to be, they went out and got Jrue Holiday. This is supposed to be the team that represents the Eastern Conference. This is before Brooklyn went out and got James Harden. By the way, Brooklyn over the Clippers. I didn't see the final score, but I think they won by 4, maybe 123-119, something along those lines. Always been a Brooklyn fan, always. Right, Curtis? I mean, I feel like I do that every time Clippers play an opposing team. By the way, it's good to actually see the Clippers take an L. That gives the Lakers and the Clippers the same amount of losses. So just kind of, I think now it puts both teams tied atop the Western Conference. Them and I think Utah right there too. But looking at the biggest wins for the Lakers so far, so it's probably Milwaukee or Boston. And the more I think about it, I thought the Milwaukee win was great. I thought the Milwaukee win was nice. I think Milwaukee probably a bigger threat, in my opinion, than the Boston Celtics. But I still think Boston's actually the biggest win of the year. And so I'm going to agree with Jared Dudley on this. And I'll tell you why I agree. Just kind of make it simple here. A few reasons why. One of the reasons why is it was later in your road trip. You're coming off two losses in a row. It's your rival, the Boston Celtics. So that obviously has a lot to do with it. So there's a few factors that come into play on the Boston Celtics win. And don't get me wrong, that's not to say by any stretch of the imagination, that's not to say that, you know, the win against Milwaukee wasn't a big win. But I just got this, you know, I kind of played into my own head here that the Celtics game meant more. Boston was very early in the road trip, so, you know, you kind of had, you weren't in those, you weren't in your week and a half of being on the road. It wasn't kind of starting to take its toll. Lakers lost to Philly, lost against Detroit, and then had Boston, you know, two nights later. I think that Boston win was bigger, more important, kind of stood out more, I think, to Laker fans and meant something. So I'm with Dudley that the biggest win for the Lakers this year, yeah, I'm with him. We'll go Boston on that front. By the way, let me give a quick shout out here. So I want to welcome in a new partner to Lakers Talk here. All right. Valvoline Instant Oil Change. So Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN is powered by Valvoline. It's our newest sponsor, and I greatly appreciate it. We've had such great partners over the years, Lexus and Toyota Santa Monica, of course, Power Pro Plumbing, Heating and Air. We've had a number of different partners on the show, and I want to welcome in Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change, visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and coupons today. Again, thank you to our newest sponsor. By the way, what does it take? Drive in and out of there in less than 15 minutes to get an oil change? You know, sometimes I go down to Starbucks, Curtis. I'm down there for 20 minutes. I get an oil change in 15 minutes. So thank you to Valvoline Instant Oil Change. You'll hear them incorporate into the show a ton. When we come back, this is what I want to do. So, kind of an interesting development for the Lakers these last couple of games. You know, all we've heard about is how are you going to play 11 guys all year? How are you going to play 12 guys? But wait, look at the Lakers' depth. Who are you going to have play? Who are you going to not have play? So these last couple of games, that rotation got tighter. And I'm going to open it up to Laker fans as well. By the way, let me just kind of get this out as well. I don't want to have to invite Laker fans to pick up the phone and call. If you ever want to be a part of Lakers Talk, 877-710-ESPN, whether I invite you in or I don't, you want to talk Lakers basketball, just pick up the phone and call. Anytime you like a topic or you want to bring up a topic or you have a question, just give me a shout out and we'll make it happen. 877-710-ESPN on that front. When we come back, Coach Vogel is changing the rotation for the Lakers these last couple of games. I got to be honest, I really, really like it. So when we come back, we'll spend a little time on that. Stay right here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I love Mario finding the 12-year anniversary of Kobe Bryant going for 61 at the Garden. By the way, you know, there's something about it. Lakers played Atlanta yesterday. Was that yesterday? I don't even remember what day it is anymore. Lakers played Atlanta. And I remember John and Michael both talking about it in the pregame show. They thought that Atlanta is where the most Laker fans reside, as in you go to a Lakers game, and it looks like more than half of the fan base are Los Angeles Laker fans. And I always, you know, there's something about the energy that comes from fans. And by the way, that's not me just saying it. We all know. We all actually appreciate it more now than ever because of COVID. And you can't have fans in arenas, except I think yesterday, for some reason, you can have fans that are running their mouth to LeBron James. By the way, I'm going to keep going off track here. Do fans not understand if you're going to talk to somebody, don't talk to LBJ. Don't talk to LeBron. Extra motivation, Lakers will come out with a win. I mean, I just don't understand it. But anyways, so I'm asking, John Ireland and Michael Thompson, and they're saying, yeah, Atlanta, there's just unbelievable Laker fans all over the place. And I was telling them in the pregame, I was mentioning, man, back in the day, there were times where I enjoyed just watching those games because Kobe would go off for 40 or 45 or whatever the case is, or he would have just an unbelievable highlight, a beautiful 18-foot fadeaway with two guys on him, and the crowd would just go crazy in Atlanta. And then Curtis just played this open from Mario about Kobe dropping that 61. It's a 12-year anniversary when Kobe dropped 61 at the Madison Square Garden. I don't know if you guys remember that game and remember those highlights. Curtis, I'm going to have you play one of the highlights if you have it there. Play the one, I want to say Kobe came free throw line extended. He's using his pivot foot. He has no idea where to go and just throws in some stupid, ridiculous move. And pay attention to the announcers. Pay attention to the crowd. On TV, Spike Lee is just like, what the hell do you do with this guy? Play it, please, Curtis.
Kobe Bryant with 57 points tonight. Kobe on a spin. What a pivot. Yes! 121-103, 59 for Kobe. What a display!
Have you ever heard a TV broadcaster laugh like that as if he's at a comedic show? But that's Stu Lance laughing because it's just ridiculous, the moves in that specific game, that specific moment with Kobe. So I encourage you guys, go on YouTube tonight and go look at that. Go look at some of those highlights. 12 years ago, Kobe put up 61 at the Madison Square Garden. Okay, I want to keep continuing with my point here. So I was talking about Coach Vogel tightening the rotation a little bit here. So the last two games, Wesley Matthews and Markieff Morris haven't played in the last two games. So what does that mean? That means, okay, well, who's going to grab those minutes? All season long so far, you know, the questions come up. I've asked head coach Frank Vogel this. Okay, hey, it's what a great luxury. You have all these players. How do you kind of balance who's going to get playing time and who's not? Because it's not common in the NBA to play 11, 12 guys. It's not common. So these last two games, you're starting to see Talen Horton-Tucker get a lot more minutes. You're starting to see Montrezl Harrell get close to 30 minutes or so. And you're starting to see Alex Caruso eat up a lot of minutes as well. So less Wesley Matthews, not less, no Wesley Matthews, no Markieff Morris. And Coach was asked about this a couple times, and one of the things that he's mentioning is what he's trying to do is see if he can get guys into more of a rhythm. Quality minutes rather than kind of a combination of quality and quantity, because now you get guys that actually get more comfortable in a game rather than, all right, I only played a few minutes, but now I got to come out because Wes is coming in, and the Wes comes in, he doesn't even really get into a rhythm. Now he's on the bench. You're trying to play everybody. So I know where you guys stand on this, but I've always thought Coach, and I think last season he did the same thing. Give the guys who earn the minutes. And if somebody's struggling or they're not playing well, it's nothing personal. It's just business. You don't want to see those guys in there eating up those minutes. Wesley Matthews has not had a good start to the Lakers season. And when I say a good start, we're close to 30% through the season now. Remember, the break is coming up, and I think 30 days from now, we'll be 37 games in, which will be half the schedule. 36, I think, is half the schedule. They'll play 72 this year. Wesley Matthews has struggled so far this year. So how can you really, really justify giving Wesley Matthews 20, 25 minutes? Now, you could make a case and say, well, the guy's a vet. I mean, he's pretty much started his entire career. Let the guy get back into a rhythm. He'll do fine. I mean, the guy's been in the league long enough. Markieff Morris. Markieff Morris was a very valuable piece to the Lakers when they picked him up in the buyout market last year. Very valuable. I mean, Markieff helped a ton in the playoffs. Markieff offered this big man who's not big but can play bully ball, and if Houston wants to go small, the Lakers can go small. Markeef's going to play the five. Remember, this is before Montrez was here. Dwight and JaVale, they were there for, you know, major size when they needed it, but there were times where those guys weren't as much of an asset. So I point out Wesley Matthews and I point out Markieff Morris because the last couple games they haven't played. And you know, I try to say this in the nicest way possible. I don't mind them not playing. I really don't. Not for now. Alex Caruso is continuing to prove if there's a game in crunch time, if there's a game that's meaningful, if there's 5 minutes left to go in a game, explain to me how you take Alex Caruso out of a game. How? That's the value Alex Caruso is bringing to the Lakers night in and night out. Remember, Caruso, to kind of start off the season, a couple nagging injuries. Then he had the COVID health and safety protocols. And now you're just starting to see Alex Caruso a little bit more. And you're seeing towards the end of games his impact on the defensive side. Forget offense. I mean, I every post-game show I do, I try to kind of sit back there, and I'm like, you know, I'm looking at box scores, and it's like, all right, this player did this, that player did that. Caruso's box score never represents his value. It never does. By the way, there's the plus-minus. I don't know how many times he's in the lead on the plus-minus, but there's a lot of times Alex Caruso has the highest plus-minus on the team. Some people think it's the stupidest stat in the world. I think it tells somewhat of a story. Maybe it doesn't tell the full story, but I think it tells somewhat of a story. Talen Horton-Tucker, THT, is starting to get more playing time. There are times where I'm sure Laker fans sit back and say, THT, Jesus, another turnover. Talen, relax, calm down. You know, stop just kind of running without thinking. Well, he's 20 years old, so he's going to need some time to figure it out. But then there's other times with THT where I'm like, give this dude the ball and let him go to work. He's a walking bucket. Not too many players in the NBA at age 20 can you have that much confidence that can get you a bucket. The upside to Talen Horton-Tucker is incredible. The guy can create for himself. He can get to the basket. He can put pressure on defenses. So the reason why I point out those two players, because with Wesley Matthews and Markieff Morris taking a back seat these last couple of games, the Lakers tightening their rotation down to 9 guys, I like it. I really do. And the two players that are starting to get more playing time, Talen Horton-Tucker is not going to be perfect, but I will tell you, THT's got an upside. We know what Wesley Matthews can bring to the table. THT is this wild card that could be lightning in a bottle at any time that you put him in. It's a risk. It's a gamble. Sometimes it's not going to work, but if it doesn't, you have other options. And then the Caruso part, like I said, you just got to have this dude in at the end of games. So I'm a fan of the Lakers. I'm a fan of the Lakers tightening up that rotation. Yeah, it is. I mean, I just kind of point at this with Alex Caruso. I keep saying this, and you know, a lot of people send in tweets during the show or during the postgame show. They'll call in or whatever the case is. I do all those social shows that I do. I just can't figure out how you take Alex Caruso out of some of these games. Okay, when we come back, John Ireland, the voice of the Lakers, Mason and Ireland from 1 to 4, he's going to join the show. I haven't had John on in so long, and John and I are always talking, obviously, in the pregame show. He comes on as Michael and I are doing the pre, and I want to kind of get John's thoughts on a couple things. Number one, I'll ask him about the rotation. I'll ask him about the 5-2, obviously, the road trip. And I have some curiosity here in the Western Conference because Lakers got Denver coming up on Thursday. Denver was obviously faced the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. Is that the second best team in the West? I mean, is it still Denver? Is it Clippers? Is it the Utah Jazz? I mean, I feel like all these other teams in the West, they're really good, but they're a notch below the Lakers. And I want to get John's thoughts on who he thinks is the second best team in the Western Conference. So we'll do all that coming up next. Thank you for tuning in. Appreciate you tuning in. If you're on hold, by the way, I apologize, I have not got back to you. Once I'm done with John Ireland, we'll take some phone calls, 877-710-ESPN. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. Welcome back to Lakers Talk. I want to welcome in John Ireland, the voice of the Los Angeles Lakers. John, appreciate you doing this. I'll just get your thoughts right out the gate here. So Lakers go on this 2-week road trip. They're gone for 7 games. They end up 5-2 and some good competition in that schedule over the last 7 games. Just your overall thoughts, how you thought the Lakers did.
Well, Alan, I've been doing this a long time, and I can tell you that any team that goes on a 2-week road trip, if you tell them that they can finish 5-2, they'll take it. It's hard to win on the road in this league. I think the Lakers had in mind at least 5-2, maybe 6-1. And that was probably a little bit tilted because they won their first 10 road games this year. So they knew they were a really good road team. But I think if you look, obviously they didn't expect the Detroit loss, but in the Philadelphia loss, they almost stole that game with the 13-0 run at the end of the fourth. It very easily could have been a 6-1 trip. Of course, I mean, if you are not a Laker fan, you could look and say if Daniel Tice would have made that putback in Boston, it very easily could have been a 4-3 trip. But I think you'll take 5-2 anytime on a 7-game road trip. So I would imagine if you put Frank Vogel on a lie detector and said, hey, are you happy with 5-2, he would take it.
Is it weird, John, that, you know, here we are coming back to Staples Center. Lakers are 12-2, I want to say, overall on the road, and then sitting at 4-4 at home. Is that weird to you? I mean, how abnormal is that in just that? And I know this is COVID times, and I know it's so different now, road games compared to how it was back in the days. I mean, for example, you guys are in studio for all the games. How odd is that as we're coming to Staples Center and now you're kind of your ears are up saying, oh man, we got some home games here.
It's weird. You know, normally most teams are better at home, but think about this. You can't do anything when you go on the road now. I mean, you got to pretty much stay in your hotel room, go to practice, go to the games. When you're home, you have all the responsibilities of your family, of your house, of your life. And I think that kind of the way the league is set up this year because of the COVID restrictions, it actually doesn't hurt you at all to be a road team. You know, there's no fans, so you're not the fans aren't going to be yelling at you. And you know, there's not going to be anybody, with the exception would be last night in Atlanta when the courtside Karen went off a little bit. But most of the time, there's not going to be any fans yelling at you. You don't have any other things to do while you're out. You're not going out to see the sights or do anything because none of the stores are open in a lot of these cities and none of the restaurants are open. So you're just concentrating on basketball. When you get home, you have all the responsibilities that you have, you know, like that you and I have while we're home. So I guess in that way, it does make a little bit of sense. But normally, Alan, and you go back and look at any year in Lakers history, I don't think they've ever had a season where they had a better road record than a home record. Certainly not a season where they competed for a title. You know, sometimes bad teams do that. But good Laker teams that we're used to seeing in the finals always have a better winning percentage at home than they do on the road.
John Ireland taking some time to join Lakers Talk. Lakers next game coming up on Thursday against the Denver Nuggets. John, what the rotation kind of changed these last couple of games where head coach Frank Vogel was using up to 11 guys, sometimes even more if it was a blowout. It was reduced down to 9. What do you think is the strategy there? You didn't see Wesley Matthews and you didn't see Markieff Morris these last two games. You saw more Alex Caruso, a little bit more THT, Montrezl Harrell getting more minutes. What do you think is the thought process going from 11 guys down to 9?
Well, what Frank Vogel has said is that he wants those bench guys to get into a little more of a rhythm. It's very hard to make an impact on the game if you're only playing 2-3 minutes a quarter. It's very hard to get into a rhythm. Like, let's say you play 3 minutes a quarter. You know, you're going to finish with 12 minutes played. That's pretty hard, Alan, to make an impact. It's, you know, to get your legs to get into a rhythm. He wanted to see if his best bench players, if he played them more like 5 to 6 minutes a quarter, would they get into a better rhythm? And I think what he's found is they are. Now that, you know, Frank has already admitted that the hardest part of his job is finding minutes for everybody. And he feels fortunate that, you know, he's got veterans like Markieff Morris and Wes Matthews that are willing to kind of take one for the team here. But, you know, those guys are competitive and they're going to want to play. My favorite two bench guys, and I know most people would say Montrezl Harrell has been our best bench player, and he would deserve that title. But my favorite two bench guys are Alex Caruso and Talen Horton-Tucker, because I think that those guys are just kind of they're ascending players. They seem to be getting better every game. I know THT didn't have much of an offensive game last night, but I love his arms. I love his defense. I just love it when he's out there. So this rotation for me is one of my favorite ones because Caruso and THT both play, you know, 20 minutes more or less. You know, they might play between 15 and 20, or they might play between 20 and 25. But so I kind of like this rotation, but I understand Frank's dilemma in that he's got to try and find minutes for everybody.
You know, it's interesting, John. Every post game, and it's right after you and Michael wrap up, I start looking. I'm just staring at the box score, and I'm trying to think, all right, what's a good angle to take from here and showcase what this player did and this role player, this was their contributions. Alex Caruso might be, you know, one of the few players in the league that has such an impact on the game. And I feel like these last few games is a great example where coach doesn't just have him in playing 20 minutes. No, he's in crunch time. These are big time moments of the game, and it feels like you have to have Alex Caruso in. What do you notice with his game that makes it so important that he's in towards the end of these games? And it's not like he's in just for the heck of it. I mean, he's incredibly impactful, even though it doesn't show up on a box score.
Well, a great example of that would be that last play in Boston. I don't think most people noticed that Caruso probably saved that game for
Absolutely.
The Lakers. When they were up one at 10 seconds to go and they turned it over, Caruso sprinted back on defense and broke up that play and made the Celtics go set up in their half-court offense. If he doesn't sprint back, Allen, that's a layup for Boston, and the Lakers probably lose by one instead of winning by one. And that's a very typical Alex Caruso play. He tends to get himself in the middle of big plays and big situations, and it almost always goes the Lakers' way because he's aggressive and he knows what he's doing and he's smart. And I think that, you know, it's funny the way you ask that. You know, you always see Caruso out there at the end of the game. I have a lot of my friends texting me in the first half of the game saying, where is Caruso? Why aren't they playing Caruso? And I think Frank Vogel has in the back of his mind, look, if I've only got 20 minutes to give Alex, I want the majority of those minutes to be in the second half. So he may play a lot of games. He may only play 5 minutes in the first half, so you can leave him out there for 15 in the second half. And I think that's why you see a lot of games Caruso comes in later than the other players, because they want him out there at the end.
John Ireland taking some time to join Lakers Talk. Lakers, next game coming up is this Thursday against the Denver Nuggets. Of course, you could hear Mason and Ireland Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 here on 710 ESPN. John, you know, I've tried to, and you know, we get a lot of feedback, could be on Twitter or during the post game, or I'm sure during your guys' show as well, where you try to poke holes. Okay, let me find an area that the Lakers got to do better on. And they're sitting at 16-6. Surprisingly, actually, that two-game losing streak, they fell a couple spots at the Western Conference, even though they're a half game out of the best record in the NBA. What if there's a hole that you think the Lakers have, what would you say is what would you say stands out to you?
The only thing that I would love to see them get better at is when I noticed when Embiid was playing against the Lakers, particularly in the first half, that he got some of the Lakers in foul trouble, and we don't have any big size coming in off the bench. Montrezl Harrell is probably the biggest guy that comes in and plays off the bench. You know, last year Dwight Howard was perfect in that role. Anthony Davis is excellent defensively, but AD can't play 48 minutes. So I'd love to see them have a little more size coming in off the bench. Now, it's one of those things you give up when you keep more Marquise Morris out of rotation. But there aren't a lot of teams, Allen, who have a guy like Joel Embiid that you have to worry about.
Sure.
And so I think they can get away with it against most teams. Now, you mentioned their next game is against Denver on Thursday. I don't know who guards Nikola Jokic when AD and Marc Gasol are out of the game. That's going to be a challenge for somebody. But that's the one area, if you made me come up with one, that I would say size off the bench. But their defense has been excellent. And in particularly in key situations like the end of that Philadelphia game when they needed to lock people up, they're finding ways to defend without that size. So I'm only answering that because you asked me that specifically. I actually think defensively they're one of the elite teams in the NBA, and they're really good in tight situations.
But I do think that, you know, if there's as much of Laker fans bring up anything to me, it's Do we have that backup center, that size, that rim protector? And they're accustomed to having that last year with JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard. So I think that's a fair assessment when you make mention of that. But it's not something that you're going to have to deal with on a game-to-game basis. And, you know, if you look at that game against the Sixers, towards the end of the game, it was AD guarding Joel Embiid. But over a stretch of 48 minutes, you got to have somebody else, you know, obviously taking those minutes. We talked about it briefly. We'll bring it up again. So Lakers-Denver coming up on Thursday. John, when you look at the Denver Nuggets, the Utah Jazz, the Los Angeles Clippers, let's just use those three teams because, you know, we know those are they're all right in that same category as far as where the Lakers are in the standings. Which of those three teams, I don't know if scares you the most is the right way to put it, but do you think could present the biggest challenge over a seven-game set?
For me, it's the Clippers. I know a lot of people don't trust the Clippers because of the way they kind of wet the bed in the playoffs last year. But if you've watched them play this year, Alan, they Kawhi and Paul George are right at their peak of their careers. And Ty Lue's got them playing great defense. I like Patrick Beverley and the energy he brings in defensively. I think they've got a lot of good complementary players. I don't think Denver is a great matchup for the Lakers because – and when I say that, I think that the Lakers would beat them, kind of like they did last year in five games. They don't have anybody who can guard LeBron and AD. The Clippers at least have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard to throw at LeBron. So in order, if you maybe pick those teams in order, I would say the Clippers scare me the most. Utah would be second and Denver third.
You know what? There is something about this, too, and I'm kind of with you on the Clippers front. I know there is this – Michael always says this in the pregame show, well, make them do something in the playoffs before I, you know, think that they could really compete with the Lakers. But they got a year under them. They're now a team that, you know, obviously is coming off an incredible embarrassment off of last year. I'm sure that helps in the sense of there's extra motivation for them as well, but – still like our chances with the Lakers. By the way, have you gave Michael Thompson, is he still on his putting the game in the refrigerator? Is he still on suspension for that?
No, I suspended him for the entire seven-game road trip. But now he gets his refrigerator privileges back. You know, Michael has a habit of putting games in the refrigerator when there's way too much time left. And I said, you know, you can keep doing that, but if you miss one, and he missed the Golden State game, you're going to get put on suspension. So we'll see. We'll crank up we'll plug the refrigerator back in for this five game homestand and see if Michael respects the process. And that's a big if.
I like it. Yeah, there's games in the first quarter with 4 minutes left. Michael
just
is calling
absurd. Yeah, just ridiculous.
Well, John, always appreciate it. I know it's been a while since we've done this on Lakers Talk, but thank you for the time.
Anytime, Alan. Have a great show, man.
Right, man, appreciate it. Alan, right there. By the way, you know, it is kind of funny because no joke, and I'm sure a lot of you guys listen to the broadcast, and John and Michael do such a great job. Be in the second quarter. Curtis, it's a 6-point game, and Michael's already ready to call today. He's like, yep, that's it. Why are we even doing the broadcast anymore? And I know a lot of it he's just joking around, but listen, you lose your privileges, and he blames it on the Golden State Warriors. By the way, I didn't even do this. The worst loss for the Lakers this year. A lot of people think I'm going to say the Detroit Pistons. No, it was the Golden State Warriors. You're up 16 points. At least you had some excuses against Detroit. They know Anthony Davis. You're on this long road trip. It's back-to-back games. Warriors, they were up 19 at one point. All right, we got to go to break here. When we come back, you know, we got a chance in this road trip to see a lot of former Lakers. JaVale McGee, Dwight Howard, Rajon Rondo, Danny Green. So I want to spend a little time, and John kind of touched on this for a quick second as well. I talked about, all right, what are some of the holes for the Lakers? And he talked about the Lakers big men. I want to just get Lakers fans, Laker fans, their thoughts on this. Last year's roster compared to this year's roster. Do you like one over the other? I mean, do you prefer that the Lakers were stacked with big men last year? Or do you prefer that right now you got Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder, two incredibly talented 26, 27-year-old players that, you know, obviously are coming off really good seasons? 877-710-ESPN is the phone number. We'll do that coming up next. Thank you for being a part of the show. And thank you to John Ireland for joining the broadcast. This is Lakers Talk on 710-ESPN. There's my reggae, Curtis. Where's the reggae been, man? I appreciate it. Appreciate you guys tuning in.
That's the one job requirement for this, that you got to play the reggae.
Just a little bit of reggae. Just got to mix in a little bit of reggae. We'll go till 9 p.m. tonight. By the way, Brad Turner from the LA Times will come on in a little bit. Curtis, you know what I just started figuring out here? I started doing the math here. And COVID hit the NBA about 11 months ago. And for everybody, I mean, if you were somebody that played on a consistent basis, you played basketball, you played football with your buddies or whatever the case is, right? Sports, even for those casual fans that got a chance to go play at a rec center or whatever the case is, I haven't played basketball, full court basketball, in close to a year. Never in my life have I gone that long. And nobody's talking about as if I'm a European basketball player, like somebody that's really talented. But man, there's nothing better than just playing basketball. I haven't played in 11 months.
Yeah, I miss, you know, I'm surprised to even say it myself. I miss going to the gym. You can't even do that.
Well,
it's been so long now.
I feel like things are starting to churn. I mean, for example, Starbucks is open till 6 p.m. now below us. Yard House, by the way, is doing whatever they do downstairs. There's a ton of people out there. My girl, actually, even this past week, I think it was on Friday, first day that they started doing outdoor dining, we went out and did some outdoor dining. So maybe over these next couple of months, Curtis, you and I will get a chance to go play full court and be out of breath within 3.5 minutes of play.
That's why I stay at the three line and just kind of
That's all you got to do. Yeah, don't play any defense. You're taking the Brooklyn Nets strategy. All right, let's take a couple phone calls here. 877-710-ESPN, by the way. Devin in L.A. Devin, thank you for calling in, bud. You're on Lakers Talk. What's going on? Go ahead, Devin. You're on, bud.
Thank you, bro.
You got it, man. What do you got? Give me something here.
Hey, I'm so sorry, Sleewell. I'm so sorry. My phone. I'm sorry, Sleewell.
You're good.
Anyways, you had just asked a question, brother, about this year's roster compared to last year's roster. Now, mm-hmm. I'm a diehard Laker fan, bro. Last year's roster, I think, was a much better – not much better, but I think was a better roster as opposed to this year as currently constructed. Now, I say currently constructed because the upside to my problem with the Lakers this year is I trust Rob Pelinka. Mm-hmm. Since he's gotten here, he has done – he's been the best by
He's delivered.
Far. No doubt. So the problem I have with the Lakers roster this year, that length, and you play basketball, you know, we don't do it on a professional level, but I mean, if you know the game, you know the game of basketball. It's all about fundamental, simple stuff. The Lakers' length last year and athleticism, they were able to tag team the before mentioned Jokic, mm-hmm. When you were talking to John earlier. Mm-hmm. They were able to tag team him, and really, he really was not, I think one game maybe he was a problem in the series. Ultimately, and losing Rajon Rondo, we lost a lot, but again, I trust that Rob Pelinka will figure something out. Now, you're asking for a solution. I say you got to go get a big man. Hassan Whiteside, I think, is the perfect answer. Now, I don't have any numbers in front of me, but I think that's the type of player the Lakers need to go get, as well as a Trevor Ariza.
Well, Devin, I appreciate you calling in. And by the way, I can't really argue at the sentiment. I really can't. 877-710-ESPN. Which roster do you like better? Last year's Lakers roster or this year's Lakers roster? And obviously what I'm referring to is Lakers lost some size from last season to this season. But let's not pretend the talent that they got in place. Let's not pretend there were questions before of, is Kyle Kuzma the third best player on the team? This was a conversation last year. And you know, obviously once postseason came, Rajon Rondo was one of the most important pieces on the entire roster. But there are differences, glaring differences between the two rosters. And I thought something Devin said is very, very important. I trust in Rob Pelinka. That's kind of his overall point. As in, if we got an issue or if one of the one of the weaknesses for the Lakers becomes a problem that, okay, we got to address this, that he will address it by the trade deadline or he will address it by the buyout market, just like the Lakers did last season in the buyout market. Let me kind of just compare the two rosters. So the Lakers' punch with Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell, that's real punch. I mean, that's those are two guys that these last couple of games, later in the show, I'm going to talk about how key Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell are, and that these dudes cannot be, they can't have one good game and then one bad game, or two good games and then one bad. They got to be consistent. I mean, that's how important those players are for the Lakers. I really put a lot of stock in those two players. But having those two guys on this team, it's a significant difference. I mean, Dennis Schroeder can play 48 minutes a game if you need him to. Not literally, or actually he literally can. I know that's not going to happen, but he can put up big-time minutes. Montrezl Harrell, look at his stats the last couple of games. I think yesterday he had a couple block shots, a steal, so it's not just, you know, what he does on the offensive end. Those guys are huge. Last year, the strengths that the Lakers had was that size, that bully ball with JaVale and Dwight, that incredible leadership of Rajon Rondo. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because this road trip that the Lakers went on, every player other than Avery Bradley, the Lakers just played in these last few games. JaVale McGee was with Cleveland. Dwight Howard and Danny Green was with Philly. Obviously, Rajon Rondo yesterday with the Atlanta Hawks. So you just went up, literally just went up against a lot of these guys. Last season, I think the best way for me to compare the two rosters, last season, you knew more what you were going to get every single night. There was kind of a consistency. You know what Dwight was every night. There was no wild cards. And I think the difference this season is this year's roster is more talented. They have more upside, but that doesn't guarantee you that that's going to work better than what you had last season. So, you know, you kind of throw it either way. So I guess at the end of the day, looking at this roster and looking at these players on this roster, there's certainly advantages on both ends of it. I hope, and this is something John mentioned and Devin just mentioned, one of the callers, I think you need another big. I think Lakers need one more big that could come off the bench because, you know, how much stock are you really putting in Marc Gasol right now? Probably not that much. And I don't know if the season progresses that Marc Gasol, a lot's going to change with Marc Gasol. Listen, he's intelligent, high IQ player, incredible skills and incredible ability to pass the ball. But with all that being said, do you think the longer the season goes, you can depend more on Marc Gasol? I don't feel confident about that. And if Montrezl Harrell is really the only big you got coming off the bench, and Markieff Morris is another big you got coming off the bench, they're undersized bigs. So I think one more big man would make every Laker fan more comfortable. Let's put it that way. If we're looking for comfort, I think one more big man would help address that. We'll see what happens. I mean, last year the Lakers had needs, and you know, a lot of shows that I do, I think people think I make excuses for Marc Gasol. I'm not making excuses for him, but I've said this from the beginning. Let's see how things play out. Let's see how critical that piece is. And if it is and it becomes critical, don't you think Rob Pelinka will do something about it? I mean, when you're a team coming off an NBA championship, when you're a minor tweak here or there, a backup center away from, you know, increasing your chances of winning another NBA championship, I don't think that would stop Rob Pelinka from going to try and make that type of move. We'll see what happens. Maybe in 20 games from now, we realize that that's not a need, but I do lean much more towards the end of it would be much nicer and you'd feel more comfortable if you're a Laker fan if they had another backup big. All right, we come back. We got our top NBA stories. A lot of good stories around the NBA tonight. Fred Van Fleet, what a game he had for the Toronto Raptors. The Brooklyn Nets and the Los Angeles Clippers played earlier today. Curtis, right on the fly, your favorite Nets player back in the days. Come on, throw me a Nets player right now. I got one.
I honestly can't even think of
Wrong answer. Keith Van Horn. That's what I'm going with. I'm going with Keith Van Horn, Nets over the Clippers. All of a sudden, I became a Nets fan today. More Lakers talk when we come back. Top NBA stories. Thank you for being a part of the show. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.